السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى، خصوصا على سيد الرسل وخاتم الأنبياء وعلى آله الأتقياء وأصحابه الأصفياء. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. واذكروا نعمة الله عليكم إذ كنتم أعداء فألف بين قلوبكم فأصبحتم بنعمته إخوانا. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. My dear brothers and respected elders, honorable ulama, and if there are sisters listening at homes and in different places, I begin in the name of Allah and thank Him and praise Him and glorify Him and seek His forgiveness and ask Him to send His infinite mercy upon His beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to forgive our sins and to guide us all to the right path and to enlighten our hearts with His love and love for His beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so that we can all live like Muslims, die like Muslims and rise like Muslims on the day of Qiyamah. My dear brothers, we are living in very dangerous times, times of fitan and fasad. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has spoken of the coming of such times 1400 years ago. لا يأتي عليكم عام ولا يوم إلا والذي بعده شر منه حتى تلقوا ربكم. O people, be aware, each day and each year which comes will bring only more evil. It's tough and bad enough as it is, but day by day things are getting worse. Things are not gonna get any easier. It's the times are fast approaching when people يُصْبِحُ مُؤْمِنًا وَيُمْسِهُ كَافِرًا. People will be Muslim in the morning, kafir by the evening. People will sell their iman. الرَّجُلُ يَبِيعُ دِينَهُ بِعَرَضٍ مِّنَ الدُّنْيَا. People will sell their iman for a meager worldly gain. Just in the hope of gaining a few pence, people will sell their iman. So it's important for us as Muslims to value our iman. Your most important asset is your iman. Islam is based on five pillars, each of them very important and significant. Hajj is such a wonderful pillar. Such a noble deed. مَنْ حَجَّ لِلَّهِ وَلَمْ يَرْفُثْ وَلَمْ يَفْسُقْ رَجَاكَ يَوْمٍ وَلَدَتْهُ أُمُّهُ الْحَجُّ الْمَبْرُورُ لَيْسَ لَهُ جَزَاءٌ إِلَّا الْجَنَّةِ. Many a people from throughout the world are preparing to go to Hajj. Many might have already left here to go to Hajj. A Hajj performed properly once wipes you clean from your sins like the day you were born. And if you perform it properly once, then you return from there like the day your mother gave you birth. Zakat is a very important pillar of deen, to look after the poor, the needy, the widows, the orphans. To fast in the month of Ramadan, it's such an important pillar. As-sawmu li wa ana ajzi bih wa fi riwayatin wa ana ujza bih. When a person fasts for the pleasure of Allah, Allah Himself will reward him on the day of Qiyamah. There is a special gate in Jannah for fasting people. To pray five times a day, five times a day. You can do work, you can do whatever decent, appropriate, suitable, honorable, but you only have to pray five times a day, obligatory prayers. But your iman is obligatory upon you every moment of your life. The thing which will determine whether you are forgiven on the day of Qiyamah, won't your prayers, your fasting, your tilawah, all good deeds will go some way in helping to get you forgiven and to elevate your status in Jannah. But the thing which will determine whether you are worthy of forgiveness or not will be fundamentally, primarily your iman. So Allah says, وَحْفَظُوا أَيْمَانَكُمْ. Protect your imans. Your iman is obligatory every moment of your lives. So it's important for people to understand the borders, the limits of iman. What keeps you within Islam, what throws you out of Islam. You might think you're a Muslim. You might think you're a believer. You might even recite kalima. You might even pray. You might even done hajj. But there are certain things if you do, or certain viruses or cancers eat you up. You might think you're a believer. وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَقُولُ آمَنَّا بِاللَّهِ وَبِالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَمَا هُمْ بِمُؤْمِنِينَ. You might claim to be a believer, but in the eyes of Allah, you will not be a believer. Many people might even say, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. Allah says in the Quran, إِذَا جَاءَكَ الْمُنَافِقُونَ
قالوا نشهد إنك لرسول الله والله يعلم إنك لرسوله والله يشهد إن المنافقين لكاذبون. People even claiming that they believe, they bear witness Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the messenger of Allah. But Allah Rabbul Alameen says, I bear witness they are liars. Only liars, هم العدو فحذرهم. They are your enemies, stay away from them. Be aware of them, be cautious of them. So to know the borders, the limits, the boundaries, what keeps you within Islam. Most decent Muslims start praying at the age of 7. The Prophet said, مروا أولادكم بالصلاة وهم أبناء سبع. When your children are 7 years old, teach them how to pray. Command them. وَضْرِبُوهُمْ عَلَيْهَا وَهُمْ أَبْنَاءُ عَشْرٍ. By the time they are 10 years old then, I won't say because it's going everywhere. People will say, and they promote this in the masjids. By the time they are 10, if they don't pray, discipline them. وَفَرِّقُوهُمْ فِي الْمَضَاجِعِ. Separate them in their beddings. Otherwise, before you know, they'll be gay. Being gay is a big problem in South Africa, I heard. 5 million plus people are HIV plus. A few years ago, there was a Christian pastor, you probably know better than me, on the BBC website we read, because such a big problem, 5 million plus people HIV positive, so this guy, he came up with a solution. Let's make Jesus gay. Have you heard about it? A South African pastor, we know about him in England. He came up with a solution because people look down upon gays. So he said, well, if we make Jesus gay, then it will make gay people more presentable. Na'udhu billah min dhalik. So, وَفَرِّقُوهُمْ فِي الْمَضَاجِعِ. Separate their beddings. Anyway, so by the time he's 10, he started to pray. Most people live as the average age of the ummah is 60 to 70. So even if a person lived till the age of 60, started praying at the age of 10 until 60, how many years is that? 50 years. Every day, a decent Muslim who prays is 32 rakats. How many? 17 rakats faraz, 3 rakats witr, 17 plus 3 is 20. Elementary maths, not complicated maths. 17 and 3 is 20, plus 12 rakat sunnat muwakkada. 17 rakat obligatory, 3 rakat witr, 12 rakat sunnat muwakkada. So 17 plus 3 is 20, plus 12 is 32. Daily you pray 32 rakats, and in every rakat of every salat, man salla rakatin wa lam yusalli fiha bi ummi al-Quran, fa lam yusalli, whosoever prays, not plays. Many people play when they pray. When you pray even one rakat of any salat, if you don't recite Fatiha, your prayer is not valid. Illa wara al imam. Except when you pray behind the imam. This is not only the fatwa of Imam Abu Hanifa rahmahullah. This is the fatwa of the Mufti of Medina in the presence of many prominent sahaba for 70 years. Jabir bin Abdullah radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. And this is narrated in Muwatta Imam Malik. And Muwatta Imam Malik was the first book about whom Imam Shafi'i, rahimahullah. I see many Somali brothers, many Somali elders, they follow Imam Shafi'i, rahimahullah. He was one of the a'imma of Muslimin. And his fatwa was, asahhu al-kutub ba'da kitabillah, not Bukhari. Imam Bukhari wasn't even born then. I said Muwatta Imam Malik. Muwatta Imam Malik, long before even Imam Bukhari was born, was known as Asahhu al-Kutubi ba'da Kitabillah. The most authentic book after the book of Allah was Muwatta Imam Malik. And Imam Malik rahmahullah has brought this narration in there from Jabir bin Abdullah. Jabir bin Abdullah was Mufti of Madinatul Munawwara from the time of Rasulullah until the year 79 after Hijri. For almost 70 years in Medina, and when he used to give this fatwa, nobody used to challenge him. So when you pray behind the imam, it's recited by the imam or on your behalf. If you pray on your own, many people recite Fatiha behind the imam. I'm not criticizing that. The point I am trying to make is when you pray behind the imam or you pray on your own 32 times a day, either you recite Fatiha or it's recited for you 32 times a day. 365 days a year, if we take for ease of calculation, that makes 11,800. Almost 11,800 in 1 year. So anybody have any idea, can take an educated guess how many times you will recite Surah Fatiha yourself, or it will be recited for you over a period of 50 years? You want to take an educated guess? More than half a million times. The brothers did a calculation. 590,000 times if you pray the bare minimum. Only your obligatory, your faraz, your witr, and your sunnah muakkida, more than 590,000 times you will either recite Fatiha yourself or it will be recited for you. What is Surah Fatiha telling us? In Surah Fatiha, you praying to Allah, اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. Ya Allah, guide us to the right path. Whatever you want, ask Allah. Ask Allah. إِذَا سَأَلْتَ فَاسْأَلِ اللَّهِ وَإِذَا اسْتَأَنْتَ فَاسْتَأْنِ بِاللَّهِ. When you need anything, ask Allah. For the food, for your clothing, for your housing, for your job, for your wife, whatever you need. Yes. Take measures, appropriate measures as well. But ask Allah. Ask Allah to give you. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. Worship Allah and ask Allah. Dua mukhul ibadah. People don't make duas anymore. If someone is making a dua in many circles, what's he doing? As though he is doing something kufr and bidah, na'udhu billah. Dua huwal ibadah. Dua is ibadah. Learn to ask Allah. You ask Allah, ihdina sirat al mustaqim. Ya Allah, guide us to the right path. You don't have to ask. You should ask Allah, but whether you do or not, Allah is telling you, ask me to guide you. Kullukum dallun illa man hadaytuhu fastahduni yahdikum. You are all misled. You don't know where you are going. Ask me, Allah says, I will tell you where to go. I will guide you. As though He will hold you by the hand. وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَمَعَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Allah will guide you in such a way, take you by your hand and lead you to the right path, to your destiny. So you want to know, Ya Allah, what's the right path? Allah has defined it Himself. Allah hasn't left it to you and me. Brother, what do you think is the right path? مَا رَأَيُكَ بَيَا يَا أَخِي. Brother, what's your opinion? What's your opinion? Keep it to yourself. Let Allah tell you what is right. اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمَ صِرَاطَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ. Ya Allah, the path of those upon whom you showered your favors. Allah didn't say صِرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمَ. Some people say, brother, we only got to follow Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We got to follow Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But that's not what Surah Fatiha is telling you. Surah Fatiha is telling you, follow behind those Allah has favored. Those Alladhina, not Sirat Alladhi Unzil Alayhi Al-Kitab only. Bi samajh aa rahi nahi aa rahi? You understand what I'm saying or not? Sirat Alladhina Anamta Alayhim, the path of those upon whom Allah has showered His blessings and favors. And then, not only knowing where to go and what to do, along with that, you have to know Ghayril Maghdubi Alayhim Waladdaleen. That's what I was wanted to say. You have to know what not to do. You go to a doctor. The doctor will say this. Take this antibiotic. Eat this. But don't do this. Don't stop your sugar. Stop red meat. Stop chicken. Stop this. Stop drinking milk. Stop eating butter, ghee, whatever. Eat boiled food. No more chilies. So you got to know what to eat and what not to eat. You have to know what's right and what's wrong. مَا أَتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُوهُ. And then, وَمَا نَهَاكُمْ عَنْهُ فَانْتَهُ. Do what Rasul tells you. Take what he gives you. And when he says, don't do this, then don't go anywhere near. Allah sent Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with a mission. He was a man with a mission. Allahu Akbar. رَحْمَةٌ لِلْعَالَمِينَ. قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ إِنِّي رَسُولُ اللَّهِ إِلَيْكُمْ. Jami'a, O you people of the world, I am a messenger of Allah unto you all. Allah sent Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with a mission, with a purpose, with a job, with a defined life. Great people are known for the great things they do. Many people build great buildings, bridges, roads, cars, computers, other things. Allah doesn't send prophets to do these petty things. Allah sends prophets to do the most important, crucial job. وَيُزَكِّيكُمْ to purify you. يَتْلُوَ عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِهِ وَيُزَكِّيكُمْ وَيُعَلِّمُكُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةِ to recite his verses upon you, to purify you, and then to teach you the book and wisdom. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was sent by Allah to purify people. Purify them with what? I don't know the name of detergents and soaps you use in South Africa, but in our places we get Purser Automatic, Lux, Pomolive. You have them here?
Yes,
yeah. MashaAllah, Surf and these things. They will purify your clothes. They will purify your bodies. But Allah wanted Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to teach people how to bathe as well, but to purify their hearts and souls, and to purify the diseases where these things can never reach. If a person dies and he hasn't worn his clothes, no problem. But if a person dies and he's got an impure, infested, corrupted, and then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لا يدخل الجنة من كان في قلبه مثقال ذرة من كبر. There are certain things, a person, illnesses, impurities, viruses, infections of the heart, not just physically, spiritual infections, if he has them, he won't even smell the fragrance of paradise. لا يدخل الجنة قاطع إياكم والحسد فإن الحسد يأكل الحسنات كما تأكل النار الحطب. Be aware of jealousy. Jealousy eats away good deeds like fire eats away dry wood. Where is jealousy? ومن شر حاسد إذا حسد. Where does shaitan incite these? قل أعوذ برب. This is the final, like they say, nail in the coffin. Or they say icing on the cake. Or cherry on the cake. And the whole Quran Allah has revealed from Ba Bismillah Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. The last thing Allah is telling you. قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ مَلِكِ النَّاسِ إِلَهِ النَّاسِ مِنْ شَرِّ الْوَسْوَاسِ الْخَنَّاسِ الَّذِي يُوَسْوِسُ فِي صُدُورِ النَّاسِ. Shaitan will stop you. And how? Incite evil thoughts in here. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sent to purify people. So that hatred, malice, love of dunya, pride, arrogance, all these things are washed away from their hearts. And Sahaba, Allah says, وَذْكُرُوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ. Oh you people, companions of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, remember Allah's favors upon you. وَاعْتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا. Hold on to the rope of Allah collectively. وَلَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ تَفَرَّقُوا. Don't be like those who became divided. So you might say, why are you talking about such issues? If you don't want to cause division, we are not causing division. These divisions have been caused by others. And these divisions are not just started yesterday, and we are having to talk about this now. They started right from the time of Rasulullah. And he's been imam in many years. I remember I came almost 20 years ago. I think more than I was imam then as well. And since the 1990s. MashaAllah, he's been imam here almost 20 years or more. Somebody comes along, Maulana, get out of here. I'm going to do the imam. I'm going to lead the prayers. So Maulana, please brother, with all due respect, you can pray, but I'm the imam here. So now if he puts up his defense, is he causing problem or is the other one causing problem? The other guy is a troublemaker. Maulana is imam here. The whole community knows he's the imam here. He's been imam here many years. So some people say, brother, subhanallah, we are talking about, he's putting up his defense. So you won't say he's causing the trouble. The troublemaker is the other one. And those who've been around from the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah called them, أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ حَقَّى. Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, Ali, Saad, Saeed, Talha, Ibn Zubayr. Zubayr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, has a Bilal and others, and Aisha and Hafsa. They are true believers, thorough believers. Lahum maghfiratun wa ajrun azim. Allah has promised them forgiveness and immense reward. Allah says, follow them, والسابقون الأولون من المهاجرين والأنصار والذين اتبعوهم بإحسان رضي الله عنهم ورضوا عنه. Allah says, you want me to be happy with you? Then you follow the سابقون الأولون من المهاجرين والأنصار. Those who took the initiative and took the lead in becoming believers, they left their homes. للفقراء المهاجرين الذين أخرجوا من ديارهم وأموالهم. They had to leave everything behind. They left their homes, their wealth, their families. Why? To get a better job? All of us sitting here are, mashallah, natives and citizens of South Africa from generations and generations. Most of us or our ancestors came here to earn more of this. You understand? Sahaba, how many left Makkah to go to Medina to get a better job? None of them. Why did they leave? Allah Rabbul Alameen Ahkamul Hakimeen is saying, يَبْتَغُونَ فَضْلًا مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَرِضْوَانًا. They left their homes not to apply political asylum, not to get a better job, not to have a more bank balance. Everything. وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَشْرِي نَفْسَهُ مَرْضَاتِ اللَّهِ. They left their homes to seek Allah's pleasure. And then those people who welcomed them, who received them, welcomed them with open arms. وَالَّذِينَ تَبَوَّأُوا الدَّارَ وَالْإِيمَانَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ يُحِبُّونَ مَنْ هَاجَرَ إِلَيْهِمْ. They welcomed them with open arms. They were already mu'mins as well when they saw their believing brothers come to them, and they welcomed them. وَلَا يَجِدُونَ فِي صُدُورِهِمْ حَاجَةً مِمَّا أُوتُوا. They didn't feel any malice in their hearts whatsoever. وَيُؤْثِرُونَ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ وَلَوْ كَانَ بِهِمْ خَصَاصَةً. They gave them preference over their needs in spite of the fact that they were struggling and desperate themselves. Those who left their homes, Allah says they did so for the pleasure of Allah. Those who welcomed them, Allah says they are believers as well. So where does that leave us? What should we be doing? Allah says, وَالَّذِينَ جَاءُوا مِنْ بَعْدِهِمْ. Those who come after them, جاءوا من بعدهم يقولون, they should say, وَكَرْسَ أَبُو بَكَرَ نُمَرْ, curse Aisha, curse Hafsa. No, they should say, وَالَّذِينَ جَاءُوا مِنْ بَعْدِهِمْ يَقُولُونَ رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لَنَا, Ya Allah, forgive us, وَلِإِخْوَانِنَا الَّذِينَ سَبَقُونَا بِالْإِيمَانِ. Ya Allah, and forgive those who took the initiative and lead in iman. وَلَا تَجْعَلْ فِي قُلُوبِنَا غِلًّا لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Ya Allah, let there be no malice in our hearts for those who believe. Your hearts, our hearts should be clean, pure, pure, absolutely pure for Abu Bakr, for Umar, for Uthman, for the companions of Rasulullah, for his wives, and all the ummah which has gone before us. And you should pray to Allah, Ya Allah, never let take a day in my life when there is any malice in our heart, in my heart for these people. If there is any malice in your heart for these people, then the next ruku begins, أَلَمْ تَرَ إِلَى الَّذِينَ نَافَقُوا. Otherwise, you will be considered in the eyes of Allah as a munafiq. وَالْمُنَافِقِينَ إِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ فِي الدَّرْكِ الْأَسْفَلِ مِنَ النَّارِ. You will deserve the lowest part of Jahannam if there is any malice in your heart for those who believed in Allah. Those who left their homes, those who were with Rasulullah, those who welcomed the people. When they came, they left Makkah. They left their homes, they left their businesses, they left their wealth, they left everything, and they came to safeguard their iman. And those who welcomed them with open arms, Allah says, they all did this for the pleasure of Allah. لَهُمْ مَغْفِرَةٌ وَأَجْرٌ عَظِيمٌ. For them Allah has promised, even though they might have done some things which might appear to you to be inappropriate, Allah says, لَقَدْ تَابَ اللَّهُ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ وَالْمُهَاجِرِينَ وَالْأَنصَارِ وَالَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُوهُ فِي سَاعَةِ الْعُسْرَةِ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا كَادَ يَزِيغُ قُلُوبُ فَرِيقٍ مِّنْهُمْ ثُمَّ تَابَ عَلَيْهِمْ. Allah has forgiven them again and again. So this is a hadith in Sunni and Shia books, in Usul al-Kafi. This hadith, At-ta'ibu min al-dhanbi kamal la dhanbala. A person who's done sin, sins don't bother Allah. Sins don't bother Allah. Ya abna Adam, law balagat dhunubuka anana as-sama. Oh, you son of Adam, if your sins were to pile to the heavens, ثم استغفرتني غفرت لك على ما كان منك ولا أبالي. O son of Adam, if your sins were to pile up to the heavens and you were to seek forgiveness for me, I'll forgive you and it doesn't bother me. Ya ibn Adam, لو أتيتني بقراب الأرض خطايا لا تشرك بي شيئا لأتيتك بقرابها مغفرة. O you son of Adam, if you brought sins equivalent to the grain of sands, but providing you haven't committed shirk with me, Allah says, I will welcome you with even more forgiveness. Sins don't bother Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, ثَلَاثٌ مِّنْ أَصْلِ الْإِيمَانِ. There are three things, they are fundamental to iman. أَلْكَفُ عَمَّنْ قَالَ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. When somebody says, لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ, don't raise your hand at him. Not only don't raise your hand at him, don't raise your tongue at him either. الْمُسْلِمُ مَنْ سَلِمَ الْمُسْلِمُونَ مِنْ لِسَانِهِ وَيَدِهِ. A Muslim is someone who keeps another Muslim safe with his hands and with his tongue. Don't insult another Muslim. Don't abuse another Muslim. Don't humiliate another Muslim. Don't put another Muslim to shame. Don't hurt him. Don't fight him and don't kill him. Sibabul Muslim fusuqun wa qitaluhu kufr. To insult another Muslim is severe sin and to kill him is kufr. ثَلَاثٌ مِّنْ أَسْلِ الْإِيمَانِ أَلْكَفُ وَمَّنْ قَالَ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَلَا تُكَفِّرُهُ بِذَنْبٍ. If he's doing something sinful, doesn't matter. Don't call him a kafir because you see him doing something inappropriate, unsuitable. وَلَا تُكَفِّرُهُ بِذَنْبٍ. He might be drinking, he might be gambling, might be committing zina, stealing, whatever. These are all sins, very bad. But don't call him a kafir because of that. وَلَا تُخْرِجُهُ مِنَ الْإِسْلَامِ بِعَمَلٍ. Don't throw him out of Islam because what he is doing. If you call somebody a kafir, إِذَا قَالَ الرَّجُلُ لِأَخِيهِ يَا كَافِرٌ. When a man calls his Muslim brother, the Prophet says, إِذَا قَالَ الرَّجُلُ لِأَخِيهِ. He's your brother, treat him like a brother, but you calling him a kafir. إِذَا قَالَ الرَّجُلُ لِأَخِيهِ يَا كَافِرٌ فَقَدْ بَاءَ بِهَا أَحَدُهُمَا. Then that kufr becomes binding upon one of them. وَإِنْ كَانَ كَمَا قَالْ وَإِلَّا رَجَعَ عَلَيْهِ. If he is a kafir as you claim him to be, okay. If not, then don't worry. That kufr is coming straight back at you to hoard you. And there's a danger. You will die without iman and as a kafir. مَنْ دَعَى رَجُلًا بِالْكُفْرِ أَوْ قَالَ عَدُوَّ اللَّهِ وَلَيْسَ كَذَلِكَ إِلَّا حَارَ عَلَيْهِ أَيْ رَجَعَ عَلَيْهِ. When a man calls another Muslim a kafir or says, you are enemy of Allah, and it's not like that, Rasulullah said, it will come back at him. Illa hara alayh. And how dare people have the audacity. People, Allah is saying in the Quran, ulaika humul mu'minuna haqqa. They are mu'mins through and through. Ulaika kataba fi qulubihimul iman. Iman is deep rooted in their heart, written. Ordained, written, carved. In our language they say patthar par lakir. But when something is even engraved in the rock, with time it corrodes away. But the iman was so deep rooted in the hearts of sahaba, they were prepared to give their lives but not sacrifice their iman. You can take a life away but not our iman away. Allah is happy with them. Allah has promised them forgiveness. And the Shias have the audacity to call Abu Bakr kafir, to call Umar kafir, na'udhu billah, to call Uthman kafir. These are not emotional rants, my dear brothers. I brought books, original book of Shias, one of their early books of Shias, Usul-e Kafi. Some of you might have heard, or some of you might not have heard. In Usul-e Kafi, Mullah Yaqub Kulaini has written. If you go on Google and you type in Yaqub Kulaini, Google will tell you. Sheikh Google will tell you, Mufti Google, Yaqub Kulaini is the only Shia scholar given the title Al-Thiqqa. There's another Shia scholar, if you type in, his name is Mullah Baqir Majlisi. And Sheikh Google will tell you, he was the most influential and powerful Shia scholar of all times. Most powerful Shia scholar of all time. And his books, he's written many books. One of them, Hayat al-Qulub. This is the original book. Original one. They translated it into Urdu. And in their Mullah Baqir Majlisi says, Ayashi ne bisanade mu'tabar, volume 2, page 923. Ayashi ne bisanade mu'tabar. He is saying with sound sahih hadith, supposedly. Another is their lies, all lies. Hazrat Imam Muhammad Baqir se rawayat ki hai ki jab Rasool Khuda sallallahu alaihi wasallam ne duniya se rehlat farmayi, char ashkhas. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away, with the exception of four people, Ali bin Abi Talib, Miqdad, Salman, aur Abu Zar ke siwa, sab murtad ho gaye. Mullah Baqir Majlisi, Maulana, yeh likha hua hai ya kuch aur likha hua hai? Can you please verify?
Bilkul yehi likha hua hai. This is what is written.
When Rasulullah passed away, with the exception of Abu Zar Ghifari, Salman Farsi, Ammar ibn Yasir, Ali bin Abi Talib, Miqdad, Salman, and Abu Zar ke ilawa, sab murtad ho gaye the. All the Sahaba, na'udhu billah, with the exception of four, they all became murtad. And then they goes on to say, especially so, Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, and others, and Hafsa radiallahu ta'ala anha, the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they became kafirat, and a'udhu billah min thalik. They have the audacity to say, I ask you, if a professor and a teacher is given a class of students, the best possible students, 100,000 students are given to any teacher, and he teaches them 23 years teaching, all of them fail and only four pass, where will that leave the teacher? If you're teaching children 23 years, 100,000 teachers, students, and only four learn to pray from him for 23 years, what will you tell him? What sort of an imam is he? Any teacher. So this isn't just about Sahaba, it's about Rasulullah. They say, na'udhu billah, after 23 years, Rasulullah didn't do his job properly. He didn't teach properly. He didn't look after the people properly. As soon as he died, everybody failed. Everybody left Islam. People couldn't wait for Rasulullah to die. Na'udhu billah min dhalik. They were fighting over who should become Khalifa. Na'udhu billah. Allah wasn't just happy with Sahaba. Allah loved Sahaba. The Quran says, فَسَوْفَ يَأْتِ اللَّهُ بِقَوْمٍ يُحِبُّهُمْ وَيُحِبُّونَهُ. Allah loves them and they love Allah. Not just four. How many nations with four people you will call a nation? Any nation in the world with four people you will say a nation? Bhi duniya mein koi qaum hai jisme sirf char aadmi aur wo qaum shumar ki jati ho? Allah says, فَسَوْفَ يَأْتِ اللَّهُ بِقَوْمٍ. Qaum means hundreds of thousands of people. Allah loves them, they love Allah. Allah, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ الْكَافِرِينَ. Allah doesn't love kafirs. Allah loves, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ يُحِبُّ الْمُتَّقِينَ. Allah loves those who have iman, those who have taqwa, those who imans are of the highest caliber. يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. So Allah loves this qawm. And qawm doesn't mean four people. Qawm means hundreds of thousands of people. So when Shias say, and the Sahaba na'uzu billah became murtad, with the exception of four, what they are saying, Rasulullah na'uzu billah failed. He didn't do his job properly. He didn't teach people. He didn't purify them. Allah sent Rasulullah to purify them. Yuzakkihim wa yu'allimuhum al-kitaba wal-hikmah, to teach them. Rasulullah said, innama bu'istu mu'alliman, I've been sent as a teacher to teach people, to purify them. Allahu Akbar. Shias, they say, after Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Hazrat Ali should have been Khalifa, and because Abu Bakr and Umar, na'udhu billah, did not allow him to be Khalifa, They oppressed them. They wronged them. Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam passed away. Fatima came to Abu Bakr. My father has left behind. And Abu Bakr said, oh Fatima, dies, yusikumullahu fi awladikum lidhakari mithlu hadhil unthayain. If one man dies, then his wealth is passed on to his children. And if he leaves behind one daughter, falahan nisf, she deserves a half. Everybody else deserves a share. Why doesn't Fatima deserve a share in what Rasulullah left behind? But Rasulullah himself has had said, whatever I leave behind is nothing for my family. It's all sadaqah. And this isn't a hadith only in Sunni books. Usul-e-Kafi, Volume 1. Volume 1 is in here as well. There's a hadith ulama recite very often. Inna al-anbiya lam yuwarrithu dinaran wala dirhama. Innama warrathu al-ilm. Prophets don't behind a single dirham or dinar to be distributed in the inheritance. Everything is sadaqah. They leave behind knowledge. This hadith is in Shia books. In Bab Sifatul Ilm, Sawabul Ilmi wa Alim. It's in twice. Is this is written in here as well. In Usul-e Kafi, that the prophets don't leave behind even a single dirham. So when Fatima radiallahu anha, when she came to claim her right, Abu Bakr said, no. If somebody, Maulana, his daughter comes to you, she's asking something. She might be daughter of your enemy, but daughter is daughter. Nobody will say no to his daughter. Daughter of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam came to Abu Bakr, and Abu Bakr said no. She had to go back. And then Umar went to teach her a lesson. He knocked the door down, set the door on fire. Fatima was expecting. She had a miscarriage, lost her child. And Umar kicked her and beat her up. I say, load of rubbish. If that was the case, where was Ali radiallahu anhu? Any decent man sitting here, somebody comes to your house and picks on your wife. What will you do? Say to him, give her another one. Is that what you'll say? Any decent man will put up a good fight to protect his family, especially the wife. And Ali radiallahu anhu, wife, daughter of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ali didn't know how to take care of his family. You know how old Hazrat Ali was then? 33 years old. Strong young man. And Umar was a 50-year-old man. When Hazrat Umar passed away, he was 63. And Rasulullah passed away 12 years before him. 63 minus 12 is 51. 50 in front of you, a young, strong, 33-year-old man who's proven his worth in many battles, is sitting at home just watching the show. Umar, an old man, beat up his wife, daughter of Rasulullah. What does that say for Ali? The Shias claim love for Ali, but insult Ali. They show him to be a coward, couldn't look after his own family. And Umar, he came and beat her up. Na'uzubillah min thalik. Load of rubbish. Umar wouldn't dare come at Fatima with that intention. Umar had utmost respect for Fatima radiallahu anha, for Ali radiallahu anhu, for Hassan radiallahu anhu, for Hussein radiallahu anhu. A little, you know, when people get married, you know who you marry? Firstly, when people grow up. And many a time when people get married and they have children, Allah blesses them with children. Many a people, they phone a Maulana or Sheikh, someone, or grandfather, respectable, you know, father, Allah has blessed me with a son. What shall I name him? They ask the Sheikh, the father, the teacher, mashallah, some opinion. Do you do that here or you don't do that here? You do that here? Mashallah. When Allah blessed Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu with sons, initially through Fatima, and Rasulullah came, Ali, what do you want to name him? Ya Rasulullah, Harb. Harb means fight.
Hazrat Ali was a warrior, he wanted a fighter.
Rasulullah said, no, Ali name him Hassan. 1 year later, Allah blessed him with another son. Ali, what do you want to name him? Ya Rasulullah Harb. Prophet said, no, Hussein. Then afterwards, Allah blessed him with children, with some daughters as well, Umm Kulthum and Zainab. And then as the Fatima passed away, Allah blesses Ali with more sons. He had other wives. Allah blesses Ali with 14 sons. Different names have been given. This is in Shia books, Tariqul A'imma. Shia book is on the internet. You can download it for free. Page 47. As Ali radiallahu anhu sons, Hassan and Hussein, everybody knows. Then he had three sons. He named them Muhammad. Muhammad Akbar, Muhammad Awsat, Muhammad Asghar. MashaAllah, when you have a teacher, scholar, someone elderly, you want to name your children after them. Mufti Zainul Abidin Sahib, he was one of our Tabligh elders, Mufti, Grand Ali, MashaAllah. He came into Tabligh in the time of Maulana Yusuf, Rahimahullah, and he had so much love for him. Allah gave him five sons. He named them all Yusuf. First Yusuf, second Yusuf, third Yusuf, fourth Yusuf, fifth Yusuf. Ali radiallahu anhu had love for Rasulullah. He named one Muhammad, the big Muhammad, middle Muhammad, small Muhammad. 3 and 2 is 5. And then he named 4 after his family members. Jafar, Yahya, Aun and Abbas. So 5 and 4 is 9. 1 he named Abdullah, 1 Ubaidullah. 9 and 2? 14 minus 11 leaves what? 3. He named 1 Abu Bakr, 1 Umar, 1 Uthman. If Abu Bakr and Umar and Uthman had done Ali any wrong, would he have named his son Abu Bakr, Umar and Uthman? Give me the colored one. And Abu Bakr and Uthman. Abu Bakr was always number one in everything. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam started preaching. The first man to give a public sermon in this ummah, you know who? Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. When Rasulullah, Allah allowed him and he completed his life and Rasulullah left this world, the man who joined him first in his grave was Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Because of the name Abu Bakr being so special, many years later, when Hazrat Hussein radiallahu anhu was in the plain of Karbala, surrounded by the army of Ubaidullah bin Ziyad, and he found himself having to defend his life and under attack and having to fight. On the 10th of Muharram, when he found that he was under attack, Shia book Jilaul Uyum, volume 2, page 244, Mullah Baqir Majlisi, Mullah Baqir Majusi. He says, the first man, Bas Pradrane Bazurgwan Imam Akhyar ne Rukhsat Jihad Talab ki, Awwal Abdullah Farzand Janab Amir ke unko Abu Bakr kehte the. The first man to sacrifice his life for Hussein radiallahu anhu was Abu Bakr. Abu Bakr bin Ali. Hazrat Umar was always second. And then he says the second man after this, after Abu Bakr kehte the, Medane Karzar mein pahunche aur ek giroh kafran ko jahannam wasil karke taigh Abdullah bin Uqba Ghanwi ki talwar se shaheed ho gaye. And then he goes on to say, after this, unke baad Umar bin Ali, the second man to give his life in Karbala for Hazrat Hussein was Umar radiallahu anhu. Umar, the son of Ali. And then the third man after him to give his life, not this isn't a narration from Bukhari or Muslim, Jilaul Uyun by Mullah Baqir Majusi, volume 2, page 244. First man to give life for Hussein, Abu Bakr bin Ali. Second man, Umar bin Ali. Third man, Uthman ibn Ali. Allah gave Hazrat Ali these sons. Then Allah gave Hazrat Hassan sons. He had number of sons as well. Then Hazrat Hassan radiallahu anhu, when he named his children other names, he made sure he named one Abu Bakr, one Umar. When Allah gave Hazrat Hussein sons, he named others different names, but he made sure he named one Abu Bakr, one Umar. Today you will not find a single Shia in the world, when Allah gives him son, he will name one Abu Bakr, one Umar, one Uthman. To name your children Abu Bakr and Umar and Uthman is the sunnat of Ali radiallahu anhu, sunnat of Hassan radiallahu anhu, sunnat of Hussein radiallahu anhu. Shias, they claim love for Abu Bakr, love for Ali, love for Hassan, love for Hussein, but they don't get tawfiq to follow the sunnat of these great people. When their children grow old, then they want to find them the sons, they want to find them wives to marry. Marriage is a very important part of our deen. And where do you look for suitable partners for your sons and daughters? Amongst your friends, your close loved ones, or your enemies? If somebody's son brings home a girl from a family your father you hate, will you happily accept her to be your granddaughter, your daughter-in-law? Many parents will say, over my dead body. Have you heard people say that? You know the expression? Over my dead body. And Allah has commanded in the Quran, وَلَا تَنْكِحُ الْمُشْرِكَاتِ حَتَّى يُؤْمِنَّ. When you want to arrange marriages for your children or for yourselves, don't marry a mushrika woman. Ask Maulana Sahib and Mufti Sahiban. Here it implies a kafira as well, because Allah says, until they believe. So don't arrange marriages with kafirs until they believe. Even if they were the last person in the world, and if they wala amatun mu'minatun khayrun min mushrikatin walau ajabatkum, even if she pleases you most. Many people, they just go after white skin, but Allah says until they believe. If they believe, no problem, mashallah. But let them believe. Do not marry yourselves or people in your care with mushrika women until they believe. And wala tankihu al-mushrikeena hatta yu'minu. And don't marry mushrik men until they believe. Wala abdun mu'minun khayrun min mushrikin wala wa'jabakum. And a self-slave, male slave believer is far better for you than someone who pleases you, but he is not a believer. Even if though he pleases you, but don't marry such people. Marriage, the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, has compared marriage to half your iman. You will heard the hadith, إِذَا تَزَوَّجَ الْعَبْدُ فَقَدْ إِسْتَكْمَلَ نِصْفَ الْإِيمَانِ. You safeguard. This is your marriage, your wife is as though she represents half your iman. So if that is Rasulullah's instruction for us, what do you think? Will Allah allow Rasulullah to marry any mushrika woman? What do you think? Will Allah allow Allah says in the Quran, Hunna libasul lakum wa antum libasul lahunna. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, innamal mushrikuna najas. Oh, you believers, mushriks are najas, they are impure. And then Allah says, your wives, hunna libasul lakum, wa antum libasul lahunna. Your wives are your garments. So if your wife is a mushrika and you are putting her on as a garment, taking her a wife, so what are you doing? You are surrounding yourself with najasa. You are surrounding yourself with impurity. If that is what Allah is telling us, this is not a daif hadith from Fazal-e-Amal. Many people are allergic to Fazal-e-Amal. They think everything in Fazal-e-Amal is fabricated, daif hadith. No! In Fazal-e-Amal, there are hundreds of verses of Quran, sahih hadiths from Bukhari, Muslim, and other narrations, other books as well. There might be a few hadith. There are, no problem. Even Imam Bukhari, rahmahullah, in his other books, Adab al-Mufrid and others, Imam Tirmizi, Nisa'i, Ibn Majah, Abu Dawud, and others, they've all brought and accepted zaif hadiths in their compilation. So Sheikh Zakaria, rahmahullah, is not the first person to bring zaif hadiths in Fazal-e-Amal, if there is any particular one. But this is from the Quran. So if Allah doesn't want us to marry mushrika women, do you think Allah would have allowed Rasulullah to marry a mushrika woman? Never. So when Rasulullah married Aisha, by marrying Aisha, did Rasulullah not endorse approve her iman. Be so range agre. Are you awake or are you asleep? So when Rasulullah married Aisha, was Aisha mushrika kafira na'uzu billah or a mu'mina? Mu'mina. So when a Shia tells na'uzu billah, Aisha was a kafira na'uzu billah. The Shias, they say, when the Mahdi will come, we all know that Mahdi is coming, is a part of our belief. Towards Qiyamah, Imam Mahdi alayhi ridwan will come. And when he does come, what he will do? When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, وَالَّذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدِهِ لَا تَذْهَبُ الدُّنْيَا حَتَّى يَمْلِكُ الْعَرَبَ رَجُلًا مِنْ أَهْلِ بَيْتِي يُوَاطِي إِسْمُهُ إِسْمِي وَإِسْمُ أَبِيهِ إِسْمُ أَبِيهِ يَمْلَأُ الْأَرْضَ عَدْلًا وَقِسْطًا كَمَا مُلِيَتْ ظُلْمًا وَجَوْرًا. This world cannot end until Allah will raise a man from my progeny, min wulde bani Fatima, a man who will be a ruler of the Arabs. He will rule over them and he will fill the world with justice as it would have been filled with oppression and tyranny. And in his time, hatanamu ummati fi zaman al-mahdi ni'matan lam yan'amu qat. They will enjoy such prosperity they would have never enjoyed before. وَلَا تَدَعُ الْأَرْضُ شَيْئًا مِّن نَبَاتِهَا إِلَّا أَخْرَجَتْهُ. The earth will not leave anything from its produce which it doesn't produce. But the Shias, they say, the Mahdi will come. A hadith says, hey, he will fill the world with justice. The Shia books, Hayatul Qulub, by Mullah Baqir Majusi, volume 2, page 900. It says, Ali bin Ibrahim ne rivayat ki hai ki unki ek khianat Aisha ka Talha wa Zubair ke saath Amir al-Mu'mineen se jang ke liye Basra jana tha, aur Hazrat Sahib al-Amr in Shia terminology is the title for Imam Mahdi, aur Sahib al-Amr Aisha ko be hukm khuda zinda karenge aur is khianat ke sabab had jari karenge. The Shias, they say, Mahdi will come, he will raise Aisha from the grave and let her. This is the Shia filth which they propagate. And this is written by Mullah Baqir Majusi, one of their most powerful Shia scholars. You ask Sheikh Google who Mullah Baqir Majlisi. The title I gave him is Majusi, but the title they gave him, Majlisi. And the most powerful Shia scholar of all time. He says, when the Mahdi will come, he will raise Aisha, na'udhu billah min zalik. And do you know who's Aisha? How do you know? Who was Aisha radiallahu anha? Amr ibn Anu asked Rasulullah, Ya Rasulullah, Ayyu nasi ahabbu ilayk? Who do you love the most? The Prophet said, Aisha. He said, Ya Rasulullah, what I meant was minar rijal, from the men. Rasulullah said, Abuha, her father, the woman the Rasulullah loved the most, the daughter of the man Rasulullah loved the most. Once, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to Medina, he married a number of women. And those women are known as our mothers. Azwajuhu ummahatuhum. They are our mothers. And Sahaba ridwanullah alayhim, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would go and take it in turn to spend the night with each of his wives. Sahaba knew how much Rasulullah is happy the day he's going to Aisha's house. So they used to wait for Aisha's turn, so that to send him a present. Something nice to eat, some milk, some date, some fruits, whatever. So that Rasulullah would be happy that day anyway. And on top of that happiness, if he received something from us, he'll be extra happy. Noorun ala noor. And so they used to wait for Aisha radiallahu anha's turn. The other wives became aware. And they said, they announced in the people, you know, we are also wives of Rasulullah. The Prophet also comes to spend a night with us as well. You can send whatever you want. It's for Rasulullah. We'll give him. We won't eat it all ourselves. We'll save it for Rasulullah and then it'll make his day as well. But the people didn't listen. They carried on. So the people came to Fatima. Oh, Fatima, Rasulullah never says no to you. So why don't you go and say to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that Ya Rasulullah, tell the people they can send you presents whenever, every day, no problem. So when as Fatima came to put in a word for the other wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Rasulullah said, Oh Fatima, when it comes to Aisha, don't say anything to me. When he comes to Aisha, don't say anything to me. Ala tuhibbina, do you not like and love the woman your father loves? Rasulullah, when he came to Aisha, even he didn't want to listen to anything from Fatima, let alone Majusi. And he has the nerve and the audacity to say that the Mahdi will come and raise Aisha radiallahu ta'ala. She is the woman, when Rasulullah's time came to leave this world, Rasulullah was in her lap. He wanted to spend the rest of his life, the days here. He sent a message, if you allow me, I can't get around anymore. I would rather rest in the house of Aisha. Everybody agreed. They wanted to please Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When Rasulullah left this world, he was resting his noble lap in the his noble head in the lap of Aisha. And then when he came to bury him, he's buried and resting in the house of Aisha radiallahu anha. That was an honor Allah bestowed upon Aisha radiallahu anha. Last year in London, these Shias, these Rafidis, they celebrated the death of Aisha radiallahu anha in London, and they chanted slogans, Aisha finnar, na hawla wala quwwata illa billah. And they accused Aisha radiallahu anha of poisoning Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, na'udhu billah. They have the audacity. If Aisha radiallahu anha was not a true believer, Allah had promised Rasulullah, Wallahu yasimuka minan nas, Allah will protect you from the people. You think Allah would have allowed his beloved prophet to be poisoned by Aisha radiallahu anha? When they wanted to hurt Rasulullah, how many times did the Jews plot to kill Rasulullah? When the prophet came to Medina, and they tried to trick Rasulullah, and they invited Rasulullah for dialogue, and they had a sinister plan. They called Rasulullah, made him sit in a place. They had a plan. They would put a heavy rock on the top. As soon as Rasulullah sits, they will throw the rock. When Rasulullah came, he was about to sit down. Ya Rasulullah, please don't sit here. Jibreel came down. Ya Rasulullah, please get away from here. They have this evil plan for you. Rasulullah left angrily. Allah saved him. In the day of Khaybar, a woman, she invited Rasulullah for dinner. She put poison in the food, hoping that Rasulullah would eat it and die. As soon as Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam ate one morsel, the food spoke, Ya Rasulullah, please don't eat me, I'm poisoned. Allah saved Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And how many times did Abu Jahl lay a trap to kill Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Nobody could ever get anywhere near Rasulullah. Kataballahu la'aghlibanna ana wa rusuli. Allah has ordained that Allah will always remain dominant, and so will his messengers. But the Shias, they say, no, no, no. Aisha and Hafsa, they poisoned Rasulullah. Where is Allah's promise? If you listen to Shias, that means the Quran is wrong. That means the word of Allah is wrong. Allah could not protect his Rasul after having promised to protect him. So Aisha was nothing but loyal to Rasulullah, obedient to Rasulullah. Rasulullah loved Aisha. So when Rasulullah married Aisha, he endorsed her, man or not. So anybody who says Aisha is not a mu'mina, is a kafira, then like Rasulullah said, then that person himself is a kafir. So when Rasulullah married Aisha, Rasulullah endorsed her iman. When Rasulullah gave daughter to Ali, Fatima, was it Ali, knowing Ali is a mu'min or not? Yes. If Ali was a mu'min, given him he has overrated Hazrat Ali, but there is another group who underestimate him. They say Ali, na'udhu billah, is a kafir. So Allah is rejecting their call as well. Hazrat Ali is a true believer. Rasulullah endorsed his iman by giving Ali his daughter, Fatima radiallahu anha. You know how many daughters Rasulullah had? Shias, they say, modern contemporary Shias, they say Rasulullah only had one daughter, Fatima. But the Quran wants you to believe this should be part of your iman, your aqidah, that Rasulullah had at least three daughters. Because the Quran says, Ya ayyuhan nabi, qul li azwajika wa banatika. Language. In other languages, you have a singular and a plural. One daughter, two, three, four. Daughters, one house, two, three, four house says, in every language, singular, plural. But in Arabic, singular, plural implies upon three or more. And then there's special plural for the two. It's called the dual form. So single, dual, plural. Plural in Arabic means at least three. So if Rasulullah would have had only one daughter, you think Allah knows how to speak Arabic or not? Did Allah know how many daughters Rasulullah have or not? So if Rasulullah had only one daughter, Allah would have said, Ya ayyuhan nabi, kulli azwajika wa bintika. Oh my dear Prophet, tell your wives and your daughter, Fatima. But Allah doesn't say one daughter. And if Rasulullah would have had two daughters, he would have said, Ya ayyuhan nabi, kulli azwajika wa bintika. Tell your two daughters. But Allah says, Kulli azwajika wa banatika. So Quran is telling you Rasulullah had at least three, but we know from history we had four. Zainab, Ruqayya, Umm Kulthum, and Fatima. Hazrat Ali is very lucky. Why? Lucky in many other aspects, but also because he's married to a daughter of Rasulullah. Rasulullah gave him a daughter. Ali is lucky because he married a daughter of Rasulullah. But oh Usman, may Allah be immensely happy with you and elevate your status. Rasulullah didn't give you just one daughter, he gave you two daughters. Initially Ruqayya, and then when she passed away, Umm Kulthum. And then when Umm Kulthum passed away, Rasulullah said to Usman, oh Usman, I don't have any more daughters. If I would have had 40 daughters, I would have given them all to you. So you think Rasulullah gave Hazrat Usman, Ruqayya, and Umm Kulthum knowing he was a true believer or a munafiq, nauzubillah? True believer. And when Hazrat Abu Bakr gave Rasulullah daughter Aisha, Hazrat Umar also gave Rasulullah daughter. Her name was? So when Rasulullah married Hafsa, did he know that she was a true believer or no? Or did he marry her as a kafira, na'udhu billah? She knew Allah allowed Rasulullah to marry Hafsa because she was a true believer. And then Hazrat Umar gave his daughter to Rasulullah. Rasulullah gave his daughter Fatima to Ali. And then when Hazrat Fatima and Ali, some ulama said their first child wasn't Hassan, their first child was Umm Kulthum, a daughter. There's a riwayat in the Shias, they tell you that Abu Bakr, when Fatima radiallahu anha, when she came to Abu Bakr to demand her right and inheritance, Abu Bakr said no. So Fatima became upset. And Rasulullah has said, Fatima bid'atu minni. Fatima is part of me. Man aghdabaha faqad aghdabani. And whosoever upset her upsets me. Rasulullah didn't say that because Abu Bakr upset Fatima. You know why Rasulullah said this? Because it was Ali who upset Fatima first. In Shia books, in Jilaul Uyun, volume 1, page 112, Hazrat Faiz says, Hazrat Fatima radiallahu anha, she came home once. She'd gone out and she came home. And when she came home, and this again, Mu'tabar riwayat hai, Sahih hadith by Shia standards. When Hazrat Jafar had gone to Ethiopia, and he came back from Ethiopia in the 7th year after Hijrah. When he came back, he brought a maid servant as a gift for his younger brother Ali. Hazrat Ali was younger brother of Hazrat Jafar. So when he came back from Ethiopia, he bought a woman to give Hazrat Ali a present. In those days, it was permissible. People, this was common practice. Hazrat Fatima had gone out, and when she came home, page 212. Sahih hadith according to Shia standards. Mu'tabar riwayat ki hai. Abu Zar aur Ibn Abbas se ki jab Jafar Tayyar Medina mein aaye, ek kaniz ko batore tohfa apne bhai Ali bin Abi Talib ke paas bheja. Aur wo kaniz janab Amir ki khidmat karti thi. Ek din janab Fatima ghar mein aayi aur dekha ki sar janab Amir ka is kaniz ke daman par hai. Jab ye halat mulaiza farmayi mutghayyir ho gayi. When she saw this maid servant Hazrat Ali's head in her lap, you think any woman would take it? Nobody would. No woman would take it. The Fatima didn't accept it either. So she picked up her kids, picked up Hassan and Hussein, picked them up, and Umme Kulthum, she was walking with him. She held her finger. So it shows Umme Kulthum radiallahu anha was the firstborn. And she was oldest. And so Ali radiallahu anhu, by Shia books, is the one who really upset Fatima. Abu Bakr didn't upset her at all. Abu Bakr was just telling her what Rasulullah had said. Anyway, when Hazrat Umme Kulthum radiallahu anha, when she reached the age where she could be married, Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, he came to Hazrat Ali. Ali, I know Allah. I know I'm already close to Rasulullah, but I've heard Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, Kullu nasabin wa sahrin yanqati'u illa nasabi wa sahri. Oh Ali, I've heard Rasulullah saying, every relationship and every link cut off except the link of Rasulullah. I want to strengthen my bond with Rasulullah. Ali, please do me a favor. Give me your daughter, Fatima. Hazrat Umar, Amir al-Mu'mineen, I had kept her for my nephew, Jafar. Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu said, Ali, please, I am more worthy of this honor that I should marry your daughter, the granddaughter of Rasulullah, than anybody else, please. And then Hazrat Ali agreed. And then Hazrat Umar came out, all happy, smiling. People, please, congratulate me. People said, on what? He goes, Ali has given me the granddaughter of Rasulullah in marriage. I am worthy of being congratulated. So when Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu gave his daughter in marriage to Umar, did he regard Umar as mu'min, rather Amirul Mu'mineen, or a kafir? If na'uzu billah, Hazrat Umar had been anything but a true mu'min, would Ali to give his daughter to a kafir? Never. So when Hazrat Ali and her younger brothers are who? Hassan and Hussein. You think Hassan and Hussein would agree? Put yours, Allah may never ever bring such a time when a people have to make this choice. But Allah forbid, if anybody's daughter walks away with a kafir and she says, I want to marry him, will you agree?
No.
Over my dead body, people will say. So if Hazrat Umar had been anything but a true believer, what would Ali radiallahu anhu have said? Never. So when he agreed, it shows Hazrat Ali and Hassan and Hussein considered Umar radiallahu anhu to be a true believer. Hazrat Umar gave his daughter to Rasulullah. Rasulullah gave his daughter to Ali. Ali gave his daughter to... completing the circle. Circle of brotherhood. Circle of bondhood. Circle of friendship. But she has want you to think, oh, Umar oppressed Hazrat Fatima. Oppressed Ali. Oppressed Hassan. Oppressed Hussein. They had no such... they were friends. They were true relatives, had the utmost respect and love for each other. The people from the continent, India, are known as Hanafis. Our fiqh is named after Imam Abu Hanifa. Many brothers, they follow Imam Shafi. Their fiqh is known as Fiqh Shafi. Some people, Ahmad ibn Hanbal, Shia fiqh is known as Fiqh Jafariya. They named their fiqh Jafar Sadiq, rahimahullah. He was never the imam that the Shias claim him to be. He was a pious man, one of the leading, grand, most noble scholars of Madinatul Munawwara. Imam Jafar Sadiq's mother, Umme Farwa radiallahu anha, was a double great-granddaughter of Abu Bakr. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu had three sons, Abdurrahman, Abdullah, and Muhammad. Abdurrahman ibn Abi Bakr had a daughter by the name of Asma. His young son, Muhammad, when Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu passed away, he was very young. He grew up in the care of Hazrat Ali. And then Muhammad ibn Abi Bakr had a son. His name was Qasim. He was known as one of the seven fuqaha of Medina. Qasim bin Muhammad bin Abi Bakr married Asma bint Abdul Rahman bin Abi Bakr. And because of this marriage, Allah gave them a daughter. Her name was Umm Farwa. Umm Farwa is the mother of Imam Jafar Sadiq. So Imam Baqir rahimahullah married the great granddaughter of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Oh, you Shias, look at yourselves. Your old deen depends on the great granddaughter of Abu Bakr. If Abu Bakr was anything but a sincere Muslim and believer, would Imam Baqir have ever get married to a great granddaughter of Abu Bakr? You think Imam Jafar Sadiq had love and respect for his mother or not? He had respect. And who is his mother? Great granddaughter of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And just as Rasulullah gave two daughters to Hazrat Usman, Rasulullah gave two daughters to Hazrat Usman radiallahu anhu, Hazrat Ali's son, Hazrat Hussein radiallahu anhu, gave two granddaughters of Hazrat Ali, his own two daughters, Fatima and Sakina, in marriage to two grandsons of Hazrat Usman, Abdullah and Zaid bin Amr bin Usman. Hazrat Hussein gave his daughters in marriage to two grandsons of Hazrat Usman radiallahu anhu. Hazrat Hassan radiallahu anhu, he married another daughter of Abdul Rahman ibn Abi Bakr. Her name was Hafsa similarly. And Hassan radiallahu anhu took her in his own marriage, showing and proving to the world that Abu Bakr, Hazrat Umar and Usman and their progeny, their sons, their daughters, their grandsons and granddaughters were all loyal, faithful, honest, true, thorough mu'mins. Anybody else barking otherwise today can bark. It is nothing but pure barking. It's barking. And people want you to believe that these grand, great souls were enemies of each other. They were not enemies of each other. Allah says in the Quran, وَذْكُرُوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ. Remember the time وَإِذْ كُنْتُمْ أَعْدَاءً, when you were enemies of each other. فَأَلَّفَ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِكُمْ. Then Allah put love in your hearts. فَأَصْبَحْتُمْ بِنِعْمَتِهِ إِخْوَانًا. Allah's Quran says they were like brothers. History shows they were like brothers. But Shia says they were enemies. Who are you going to listen to? You're going to listen to Allah and historical facts or historical rhetoric and garbage? Choice is yours. But now, unfortunately and sadly, because people don't know, people don't read, they go to share Google, they go to YouTube, and they watch these Shias barking literally filth and rubbish and throwing such garbage on these blessed and noble souls that Allah had chosen to be in the company of His beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Love for Rasul, love for companions, love for Rasulullah. In English they say a friend of your friend is also your friend, and an enemy of your friend is also your enemy. So people who loved by Rasulullah, so someone who loves them loves Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And people who hates those who were loved by Rasulullah will in turn be loved or hated by Rasulullah. We will be hated by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah save us from this fitna. Dear brothers, this is a responsibility upon all of every one of you sitting here to teach yourselves and your children and to pass on the message, because until 30 years ago, if nobody knew these issues, it didn't really matter too much because you didn't come across them. Now the Shias are bombarding your homes through the satellite channels. We haven't even got one decent TV satellite channel. Shias have got three. They are broadcasting their kufr in English, in Arabic, in Urdu, throughout the world. And people think, people sitting with dadis and topis and pagdis and jubbas, looking like Muslim, they are talking sense, but they are talking rubbish. Anything else a person does wrong. I was giving an example to some of the brothers earlier, just before Isha Salat. Finally, this is last bit, inshallah, brothers. I know it's a bit late. Finally, last 2 minutes. If somebody does something wrong, many people come to ulama, Imam, Maulana, please make dua, my son, he doesn't listen. Maulana will say, may Allah guide him. I say, okay, Maulana, well, you say something else. You'll make a dua and you'll say, may Allah guide him. Somebody, a friend might come, a brother, Maulana, please, my brother, he's in the wrong company. He started taking heavy stuff, he's smoking drugs. Maulana will say, may Allah guide him. Somebody else might do something wrong, might not be obedient to his parents. May Allah never bring such a day. And then Maulana will say, may Allah guide him. But there's one sin, you don't say, may Allah guide him. You say, may Allah curse him. Because that's a sin Allah doesn't forgive either. It's one of those things, Rasulullah, this is not my fatwa, I'm not a mufti, I don't give fatwas. There are two types of muftis. One is a mufti, mashallah, he's learned Quran, hadith, fiqh, tafsir, and then under the guidance of mufti, he's a trained mufti, right to give fatwa. Others a mufti min al-muft. In the UK, we have Tesco, and these big supermarkets, they run offers every now and then. Buy one, get one free. There are these, I call the mufti min al-muft. You ask them one thing, they'll give you 10 fatwas. Free, the mufti min al-muft. This is no mufti's fatwa. This is Rasulullah's fatwa. إِذَا رَأَيْتُمُ الَّذِينَ يَسُبُّونَ أَصْحَابِي فَقُولُوا لَعْنَةُ اللَّهِ عَلَى شَرِّكُمْ. When you see people cursing my companions, then don't say, may Allah guide you. Say, may Allah curse you. And this is in the Quran as well. In the Quran, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَرْمُونَ الْمُحْصَنَاتِ الْغَافِلَاتِ الْمُؤْمِنَاتِ لُعِنُوا فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. Those who accuse believers wrongly, they deserve curse in this world. لُعِنُوا فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. They will be in curse in this world and the life hereafter. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يُؤْذُونَ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ لَعَنَهُمُ اللَّهُ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. Those who insult Allah and His Rasul, Allah will curse them in this world and the life hereafter. When people say, Aisha na'udhu billah was a kafir, a poison Rasulullah, will it make Rasulullah happy or will it make Rasulullah angry? Angry. So this is no ordinary affair, my dear brothers. This is to do with your iman. This is deep rooted, this is a part of your iman. To understand nobility of Rasulullah, his family, his companions, his wives. To love them is to love Rasulullah. To say anything otherwise is to undermine the nobility and goodness of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah save us all. May Allah guide us all to the right path. May Allah protect us, our sons and daughters, and the whole ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from this fitna. Wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ala sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi.